Hello friends, I'm your host, Chris Thrall. I'm a former Royal Marines Commando. I've adventured, for better and sometimes worse, across 80 countries on all 7 continents. Welcome to the Bought the T-Shirt podcast.
Boom, Mark, how are you, dear sir?
Very well, how are you doing, Chris?
Phenomenal, mate. Absolutely great to have you on the show. Gosh, I've been listening to or watching some of your stuff, and it's funny how we all get to the same parallels in life. Mark, let's go back to the beginning. Because you were training to be a pilot, a jet mm-hmm. pilot in the RAF, and you kind of had a bit of a sort of wake-up moment there, did you?
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, I spent from the age of 7 to 19 just obsessed with being a pilot, and I was in the air cadets when I was like as soon as I could get in, because there was free flying, and I was a counselor. I was a kid. It was the only way I was going to learn flying, and then I could fly before I could drive. I went solo when I was 16, I think, in Nottingham, in a glider on a wet, cold morning. And then I got a sixth form scholarship from the Air Force, then I got an RAF cadetship, and I was going in. But my dad died when I was 17, which blew up a lot of things inside of me. And then I witnessed a couple of things in the RAF. There was a couple of suicides that were covered up. Well, one was covered up, which I was deeply disturbing, of a friend of mine. And I was also seeing things in Germany that were not correlating with what was being said in the Daily Telegraph at the time, which ironically I ended up working at a few years later. And then I think really one of the pivotal moment for me was when I'd got the Gold Duke of Edinburgh's award, which you're probably familiar with. And because of my dad's death, it was delayed by the time I went to collect it. So I went to collect it at St. James's Palace with my mum. We're all dressed up. I was in my RAF uniform and I was in there, and Prince Philip came along and said, did all his shit. And he said, I see you've joined the, and he didn't recognize the uniform. And I was like 19 at the time. And I was like, what? You're the commander in chief. How do you not recognize this uniform? Somebody had to whisper Royal Air Force in his ear. And I looked at him and I gave him a dirty look, and I was like, what? You know, my eyes were saying, what? And he was like, and he whipped his hand away. It was horrible. I can still feel his hand. And he just gave me the look like he wanted to kill me. But I just couldn't understand at the time. He'd probably just come up from the dungeons drinking adrenochrome. I don't know. But back then, I didn't know any of that. And I was just like, who am I working for? I mean, you know, the guys in the military to me were heroes. I mean, you mentioned that in your podcast with that I was listening to this morning, and I thought that was really interesting because, you know, the Battle of Britain and everything else. I think it was the Jeff Thompson interview I was listening to this morning. That was brilliant. And it was such a massive disappointment to me, but I knew I had to move on. Now I know that I was there because I had to witness certain things in preparation for this time. I understand that now, but that back then I was gutted because all I ever wanted to do was fly. And, you know, I was pretty good at it as well. I mean, sometimes I was shit, but then I was good at it as well. And I got a really high grade from the ex Red Arrows leader in my basic handling test, which I'm still very proud of. But I knew I had to get out. So I resigned, and they didn't like that. It took a long time, and I had to pay a lot of money to get out.
That's a brave thing to do. You know, the bane of my life is people saying to me, oh, Chris, I was never in the military, as though somehow being in the military makes you like a special person or something. And especially as a life coach, we have to... there's behavior there that we have to work on. Stop comparing yourself to other people, especially as if you knew about the military, it's probably the most satanic job you can do in the UK. Yeah. And I don't mean any disrespect to my former colleagues or my fellow veterans, but speaking as ha ha ha, English Veteran of the Year. I think I have, you know, I've earned the right to speak. And when I joined up, Mark, we didn't have the internet. You didn't have the ability to research, for example, the events that, you know, may or may not have taken place in America a certain time ago. We were just told there's good guys and bad guys, and if you join the military, you're one of the good guys, and that's what we believed. And then we were subjected to a massive indoctrination, because apparently, if you go back to like the Battle of Gettysburg or some such historical event, they were digging up rifles. I suppose they were not much more than muskets, and they were finding that there were five rounds down the barrel, and they reckon it's because it's so against our nature to want to take out a fellow human being that people were pretending to load and then pretend, you know, that so they'd end up with five in the chamber because they didn't want to hurt anyone. Whereas in our military, it's very much like targets will fall when hit. That what they don't say is fellow teenager who's done absolutely nothing to you, but has fallen foul of the international banking cartel who now wants his country's resources and also play on the chessboard for their new world order, he will have his head blown off. Then his father will cry in the pub for the rest of his life. You know, and that's the thing. You know, we didn't have the ability, Mark, to know that if you join the forces, you're working for the military-industrial complex, and the military-industrial complex is the Rottweilers for the international, whatever we're going to call them today, cabal, cult, international banking fraternity, NWO, what, you know, Sabbateans. that's Sabbateans and the old KM, as we refer to them. And so there's two reasons there that I speak out about this. One, stop comparing yourself to other people. The past doesn't exist. Doesn't matter what decision you made when you were 16 or 18. That was like 30 years ago now, sir. I'm not talking to you, Mark. You know, please leave it behind and go and be a good parent to your kids, which I'm sure you are. And that is how you become a good human being. You don't do it by aspiring to be John friggin' Wayne in some deluded thing that you have no understanding whatsoever. But you've been massively brainwashed through Hollywood to believe they're the good guys. They're not. They're just very naive pawns on a huge chessboard that you won't understand until you learn esoterics or spiritual battle, or you raise your vibration so you can access the information that's there, but only the psychopaths currently access, and there's wonderful, beautiful, enlightened people. So there you go, Mark. How about that for talking over my guest?
Well, no, that's great to hear. You know, when I left, I was actually saying this to my kids the other day. It was like, they were like, why did you leave? And I was like trying to explain. It was a real, I mean, my brainwashing was complete. When I was an air cadet, I remember rushing home on a Thursday night after parades to watch Question Time. I was desperate to keep up to date with current events. Little did I know I was watching five paedophiles arguing bullshit on the BBC Paedophile Protecting Network. I didn't know that at the time. And when Question Time, I'd say this story quite often, when Question Time used to finish, the BBC would play the national anthem and I'd stand to attention and salute the telly when there was nobody else in the room. I mean, I was all about Queen and Country, all about it. My, you know, all my family were bunting, you know, the Silver Jubilee. I remember that. And although I do remember saying to a friend's mum once, in 1977, and I turned around and I said, I wish she'd just die. And I got told off for it. So I kind of knew, I think my soul knew, but I had to go through this process. And flying was, I just had dreams of flying from the moment I was born. And I just wanted to do it. And everybody said I couldn't do it because I was a council house kid with a pot belly and I was too short. But I did do it. And I got in at a very high level and I got a very high grade. And then I got out very young before I finished training. And I'm very grateful for that experience because it's informed my whole life ever since. And I did get a lot of good things from the military. I mean, I know how to build a bivouac. I know how to skin a rabbit. I know how to, you know, do piss on my boots when my feet are too cold. I mean, the stuff that you do remember that's, and the guys were great. And I've got a lot of respect for anybody that puts themselves in the firing line. But I knew then that these wars, they just didn't make sense. And why would I want to bomb a village full of children and women? I mean, I just couldn't, my soul couldn't bear the thoughts. So I left and I resigned. And I remember writing the letter. And then I got called to Cranwell, and I had to sit in a room in the middle of, on a chair in the middle of a room with good cop, bad cop. I had the group captain there and I had the squadron leader there. And one was going, I'm very disappointed in you, flicking through my file. And the other one was going, oh, maybe you could go backpacking for a year and find yourself, Mark, and come back in. I was like, oh God, got to get out of this. So I'm glad I was there. I'm glad I met all these royal family members, and because, you know, what I've learned in the last 30 years is mind blowing. And it's, I think it's our duty as human beings to share this, these experiences, in order for other people to understand the big picture, because the big picture is far, far, far more important and far more interesting than being in the military for a bit.
It's the true warrior's journey, Mark, hey? Spiritual battle.
Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes I do use the word spiritual. I'm just actually filming. I've been filming all morning because I'm writing a book with Abby Wynn right now, called Weapons of Mass Protection, which is all about how to, you know, spiritually protect yourself, because the for spiritual warriors. In fact, I talk about spiritual warriors, light workers, star seeds, all of that kind of stuff. Now, these are part of my parlance, which makes me laugh, because sometimes things come out of my mouth and I'm like, am I actually saying these things now? This is crazy.
Do you find when people say, like, oh, is Jordan Peterson, Chris, is he a good guy? Or, you know, and for me, it's really simple. I say, well, does he, you know, he might be very well-meaning. I'm sure he's great to go for a beer with, but does he talk about spiritual battle? Does he understand that, for example, the scriptures contain allegory that you need to decode? Or is he sort of one of these ones that puts it all literally? And that's kind of I can't really make it much simpler than that. Have you got any thoughts in that area, Mark?
What, Jordan Peterson? Or
no, I don't want to like single out people in particular, not especially other content creators. It's just, you know, you get a lot of people go, yeah, this guy, Chris, he's really, and it's like, well, is he really? You know, he's just blessed Israel, or he's just worn his underpants on his face. But my sort of marker is, you know, is he preaching the things that's needed to enter paradise? And
well, you know, I talk, you know, I'm a poet. I talk about, I've just opened a healing center. I'm trying to heal people, donation based, so nobody misses out. I think I might have a way of building a whole new healthcare system, which we're working on right now. Grandiose statement, but it's possible. I talk about love and peace and spiritual and going inside. Yeah, you know, I get called a shill. I get called a white supremacist, fascist, racist, homophobe. It's like, what, you know, it's, the conclusion that I've come to is quite simple. I think we're all doing our best. Those of us with a soul are doing our best, right? Whether that's going and helping your neighbor or getting up online and talking about stuff. And none of us are perfect, and all of us have a history. And, you know, that's part of our journey. But once you understand that you're the only thing in creation, then it all becomes a little bit simpler to understand, because we're creating all of this all the time. And you are all there is. So everything in front of you, including Jordan Peterson, including the government, including the things that have happened recently, are all there for you. And if you can see them all as a gift, then you understand that you're on a journey of your own, because you chose all of this. Then actually you can start to enjoy it, even though people are dropping dead left, right, and center. You know, if you go far enough into this, you understand that, you know, death as we understand it isn't what we think it is anyway. And the reality is far, far, far more interesting than anything we've ever been led to believe. And I've just been given incredible gifts of seeing things that have kept me really calm throughout this. Like, like the spaceship that came to visit me last year, like the dragon made of light that flew over my head, you know, like the elementals that I see and wake me up in the middle of the night and stuff like that, that kind of made me go, hang on, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye.
Is that a bit of synchronicity coming in there, these sort of, I don't know what how you refer to them, random events? Or
I don't think there's anything random. I think everything, synchronicity is, I mean, the I don't know about your personal, I don't like using the word journey, or there's a lot of words I don't like using, but I'll use it for ease. Your own, you know, for me, my earliest memory was demons trying to recruit me in 1973 during the 3-day strike when Ted Heath, the paedophile Satanist, was in charge of the country.
Could you tell us about that? And also, I think the old P word, we might, if okay, we say that, no, it's only that we'll get the video gets demonetized and then I don't get paid.
I said I'd be a good boy.
I kick the cat and then I'm bloody. No, Mark, it's fine. I hate even having to ask.
If they do pop out, I'll edit myself a little bit. Well, yeah, I mean, I had a very. I had a very strong connection to God as a child. And yeah, I saw demons when I was a little boy.
In what form, Mark?
In the main form is that they came to me when my eyes were closed. So I'd see their faces and I could hear their voices and they would just attack. Now, some people say that's nightmares. It wasn't. It was a very real thing and I was awake and it was in the dark. But the clearest memory that I kind of hid for a number of years. And when I first started talking about this, it was about 3 years ago, and I remember doing this show. And I came off and I went, oh my God, I've just talked about demons online. I'm ruined, because I had a business at the time. But then I got thousands of emails from people saying, yeah, same thing happened to me. And I don't tell anybody about it. So that's why I realized that it was important to keep talking about this stuff. But the clearest one was, I don't know how old you are, but 73 was the miners' strike. And we had the 3-day week where there was no electricity for 3 days a week, or it was maybe 4 days. I can't remember exactly. But my mum used to bring in a little co-op tea light and put it next to my my bedside table, right? And I had a room like this, and I was in the corner here. The window was there and the door was over there. And the candle was on. I remember sitting up one night and there was a shadow on this wall over here, which was completely normal, like a fuzzy shadow of me. But there was another shadow on the other side of the room, but it was perfectly black. An outline, there was no fuzziness to it, and they had two horns on the head, and I was sitting up and down doing this going, how do I get rid of these? What's this? What is this? You know, and that was a real, very, very real memory. And then there was like, I had meningitis. My parents were told I was probably going to die, and I remember talking to somebody all the way through that lumbar puncture. But I kind of, and this happens to a lot of people with these experiences, they twist it to fit the reality that they think they're supposed to have. So for years, I thought I was talking all the way through this operation. But actually, about 12, 13 years ago, I had a flashback where I was looking down at myself having a conversation with somebody. So I was watching the operation. And who was I talking to? Because it wasn't a nurse. It was somebody. So, and then lots and lots of out-of-body experiences and seeing things. I was obsessed with graveyards and talking to ghosts. And I had all these psychic incidences happening that you kind of brush off, you know, and we all have them, you know, when you think of a song and the song comes on, or if you think of a friend and then somebody rings you and says they've just died or something like that, you know, we brush them off and we kind of forget them, but these have got stronger and stronger and stronger. And coming back to the synchronicities, I think it was about 2010 or so, I just started seeing numbers, 11, 11, 11, 11. And I was like, why am I seeing this number? And then you start looking into it. And that's the beauty of this. It's like being in a computer game, or it's like being on an ayahuasca journey or on a mushroom trip. You're kind of going along and you're getting clues, and you're either paying attention or you're not. If you are paying attention, then you're learning from it, and then you kind of move up a level, and then you move up. It's like a computer game. You just keep moving up levels. And that's actually the fun part of this experience, because I know that, you know, I try to encourage people to find out who they really are by having past life regressions, looking into the work of people like Dolores Cannon, reading the scriptures, reading the hidden books of the Bible, like the books of Enoch, reading the Law of One, reading the Anastasia books, reading David Icke's books, reading books about the Tavistock. I've got them all here, you know, because I've done years and years and years and years of research trying to find out the answer. Because the truth is the thing that we're all looking for, but the truth is multifaceted. So, no, so to coming back to your answer about synchronicities, loads of synchronicities. Who's telling the truth? Well, there is no one truth. That's the other thing, because everything's here for you. So all of these characters, like including me, you know, are maybe there's things you don't like about me. And that means that, well, you know, people say, oh, I used to like him. And so he started talking about the carnivore diet. Then I went off him. Or I used to like him. And then he did this and I didn't like him anymore. And it's like, well, that's fine, because everything's kind of twisted together like this. So there's truths within lies within every situation that we're presented with. If you look at the recent film, The Sound of Freedom, on one hand, an amazing film talking about child trafficking and bringing that to the public's attention. On the other hand, somebody like Dr. Amanda Vollmer in Canada, who I've got a lot of respect for, says this is just manifesting more of that. On the other hand, you've got this great actor who played Jesus with Mel Gibson. On the other hand, you've got pictures of him doing this over the years. You know, which is which? Who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? And then people go, rah, 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 he's a bad guy, he's a good guy. But really, it's just there for you. Everything is there for you as an individual, for your own personal development as a soul. And you're an eternal spirit. And once you understand you're an eternal spirit, death isn't what you think it is. And therefore, you should, you know, because if most people who do plant medicine, for example, the first, you know, anecdotally that I've read a lot of and spoken to a lot of people, the first thing a lot of people experience is like a kind of death. You know, one of my friends, Matt, whose brother was in 9/11, Jeff, was in the towers. He experienced being strangled to death. That was the first thing that he experienced. And I was like, well, that's getting rid of the fear of death.
Is that the chap that lost his brother?
Yes. Yeah, he's my best friend from school, and Jeff was my friend from school.
We've got to be really careful what we say, Mark. Yeah. This is one of the things they're really hot on. But if that's the guy that I saw, he did this. I talked to Robbie Williams about this, actually.
Yeah.
That they posted bits. Just enough to bring.
Well, I knew Jeff well, and he was a wonderful guy.
When he gassed out, he was like, "Guys, I can't do this anymore. I've for 20 years, I've been trying to highlight the truth of what, and I'm exhausted." Oh,
well, I was over Matt's shoulder all the way through that, and there's a. Can I share screen?
No, don't do that because we're on studio.
Okay. Well, if you look up. If you look up and share your screen on Google, if you look up, what's it called? Hurricane Matthew.
Okay.
This will freak you out. So as part of my journey with Matt, he ended up inviting me to go to Gitmo in 2015, 16. There was a court thing that he was invited to, and he got flown from London to Washington, then Washington down to the spa, as we call it, over the Gulf of Mexico. And they narrowly avoided a very serious hurricane that could have wiped out that plane, but didn't somehow. And it was called Hurricane Matthew, and his name's Matthew. And if you look at the picture, the satellite picture on Google Images of Hurricane Matthew, you'll see a demon's face in the picture.
Yeah, bloody hell. Yeah.
I don't know if you can share the screen.
Yeah, I'm showing it to everyone now.
Yeah. I mean, it's stuff like that that seems insane, but you know, that is a demon's face.
Yes. Can I just tell you my plant journey? I've only ever been on one, well, unless you count the old devil's lettuce.
I've not heard it called that in years.
Oh, there's that one. There's also the other one. What's it called? The salvia. Oh, bloody hell. Can't even talk about it, folks, but whoa. No, I was gonna say I did my sort of, you know, Amazonian experience fairly recently, and I'll be honest, I don't think I'll be doing that stuff again. It served a purpose. I kind of knew what I was in for, and I knew it would be pretty nasty because that's kind of my experience with anything hallucinogenic. And going back to what you were saying about the demons visiting you, how can it be, right, that when you shut your when I shut my eyes, and it wasn't the whole time, some of it was quite mellow and enjoyable, and then it would suddenly start to phase into, oh, right, this ain't going to be, this is not going to be pleasant. And I'm shutting my eyes, and I could see these, like, triffid, like entities just going like that, and then there was blood dripping off bits of, like, meat, and when I Googled, I was doing a thumbnail for a video, and I Googled, like, demonic image. Bloody hell, one of the ones that come up was what I saw, that triffid like thing coming like that at you. And I'm not even going to stretch my brain, Mark, to think how does that how I could have seen, like, cream cakes coming at me, bloody lovely, you know, or the Michelin man, I wouldn't have minded that, or, you know, or I'm thinking of the Marshmallow Man, aren't I, on
Ghostbusters,
yeah, Ghostbusters, you know, not a problem, but
Mrs. Staypuff.
Yes, this wasn't Mr. Staypuff, this was Mr. Bloody Nasty, yeah. And it was quite good. I learned a lot from that experience. I've just learned not to do it again. No.
Well, they're here for us as well. That's the thing, you know, and we create them. And that's what I liked about your interview with Jeff, because I agreed with that. And the whole point of this is that we are the creators, and they understand that. That's why we've been hijacked. But, you know, and we're coming out of it. And this is the Great Awakening, not the Great Reset. But I do caveat that by telling people that I'm an apocaloptimist. And I think this is all about truth unveiling for you as an individual and for us collectively. And some of us are here to sort of just hold people's hands, because some of it's going to be quite upsetting.
Yes, sorry, Mark. I'm not being rude to you. I'm looking at the live chat that's... I completely agree. I saw it and I thought, Chris, it's just telling you, mate, you got a few things left to work on. That's it. Yeah. You got a few things left to work on. And I'll tell you what, I've done a bloody good job since then. It was a moment in time that goes, oi, come on, mister, you're 54 now. Certain things, you know, you should just exercise a bit of restraint, a bit of willpower. Do the right thing. Think about other people instead of yourself. And lo and behold, it's been bloody brilliant, Mark, you know.
Oh, it is brilliant. I mean, it's in our language. You know, you got to face your demons. It's there. It's there from, you know, from the beginning. I mean, things like, I got a good vibe off somebody. I mean, we're frequency. It's in our language. We inherently know this. But because of the separation that they try to create with us, and locking us off by calcifying our pineal gland with fluoride and stuff like that, it's kind of like it's kind of like you're starting this race with a brick tied around your ankle, and you spend most of your life trying to get rid of that brick, and then learning how to run without it. And if you take an impediment off somebody, they miss it for a bit, because we get it's Stockholm syndrome for the brick. You know, we have that. That's the issue. And the whole of the last few years has been showing us that we have been treated like children our entire adult lives. And we act like children. If you treat adults like children, they behave like children. But if you treat them like adults, they start behaving like adults. And all of this is really about us growing up as a species. I think when we realize we have the power, we are sovereign individuals. And there's a much, much better way of, because most people here on Earth, No, intrinsically something's wrong.
They call that Plato's cave?
Yeah, the allegory of the cave. I when I started my channel, I played that all the time. There's a great claim animation of it on YouTube that everybody should go and watch, because it's just you can go read it if you know, we're not a reading society anymore. But that clay animation's fantastic, because that's exactly what it's been like for me. I've been shouting about this stuff for years. I've been thrown out of parties. it affected my health. I drank too much. I took drugs. Because you get coping with all this stuff. Because I've been waking up since 1989 properly. Accelerated when it happened with the two doodahs. And as it did, that was a big wake up for a lot of people. And then obviously in the last 3 years, it's just been like accelerating, an accelerated thing. And it's a real, I see it as a real privilege to be here and to be, sharing these stories and talking about this stuff, because every time we do that, we're helping somebody else find out who they are. And it's not about being right. It's not about lecturing people. And it's not about being a guru. I keep saying to other people, just because we chose to speak out doesn't make us any better than anybody else. So we're all exactly equal, because we're all part of one consciousness, and that unity consciousness is the thing that's rising, and the earth is rising at the same time, and we're going from one frequency to another frequency, and we're passing through some pretty nasty stuff in the fourth dimension, and then our bodies are, for the first time, are going to be meeting our souls and oversouls and monads. And that's what ascension, I think, actually means. And that's what I'm experiencing, and a lot of people that I know are experiencing. And some people, I was explaining this to my son yesterday, some people for centuries have seen fairies and ghosts and can speak to the other side. I mean, that's all real, and we do. Even people who are hardened cynics will go and see a medium or get their cards read, because they want to know the future and they're obsessed with the future. But like you said, the past is gone. It doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist yet. But all we've ever had is the present moment. But we can change the future, because time doesn't exist as well, because we're existing. But that's another story. But from this perspective, we can have a much better outcome. And it doesn't take a lot of us to do it. So if you look at a petri dish in a biology class with one set of bacteria in it, you can introduce a new bacteria, like a new thought, and then it can go, and then suddenly the whole thing will change. And it's similar with a caterpillar inside a cocoon. It doesn't gradually turn into a butterfly. It instantly turns into a butterfly because of a cell inside there called the imagio cell, which is where we get the word imagination from. So that instant transformation is something we can all achieve, and we can do it by, you sharing your thoughts the way that you have has affected the consciousness of the people that have watched you. And it's, for me, it's frequency matching.
I like this man, folks. I like this man.
And all of this stuff came in a way that I started saying all this stuff, and I was like, where is this coming from? And then somebody said to me, you're claircognizant. And I went, what the fuck's claircognizant? I've never met her. Who is claircognizant? And then I realized, oh, yeah, I'm getting all this information all the time. And then it just comes out of my mouth. And then I go, where did that come from? And it's just being tapped in. And we've all got this ability. We've all got the ability to do it. We've always had it. And it's just trusting it, because this is all about trusting. And I use the word God because I reclaim the word. I mean, for years I was saying source and universe. But, after my dad died, I was basically an atheist for 30 years. I just turned my back on all of that, and I became a socialist, and I was on the marches, and I was doing all of this stuff in my 20s and stuff. And then it all came flooding back that actually that's not right. Communism is same thing as socialism. Politics is absolute nonsense. It's all theater. They call it the theater of politics for a reason, because all actors, all of them. And, and I want to create a better world. And when this all kicked off, the recent stuff, I knew the NWO was coming. I'd known about it for years. I'd read the Project for the New American Century. I'd read the Protocols of the Elders of Zion in 1999 in the Curry House in Manchester. I knew all of this stuff was on its way. And when it came, I was like, shit, here it is. And then, I've just been doing what I'm told ever since, which is following that connection to whatever you want to call it, which I use the term God because everybody knows what that means. But
mate, I'm still out with a God thing. To myself now, I'm quite content with, I'm at ease with it. I get, like, just like what you said, I own it now. The only reason I shy away from it, Mark, is that had someone talked to me in terms using like God, I would have just been like, oh, religious nutcase, walk away, walk away. So I just use I just use power, energy, universe. But you know, I guess it doesn't matter, does it, if we're all on our own journey?
No, it doesn't. And I, you know, I've spent a lot of time reclaiming words, right? So I toured America last year on the Truth Tour 2, and I was the only British guy to do the whole tour. It was 17 cities, thousands of miles in 31 days. We drove around the whole bloody country, and we went to all the dark spots around America, which were chosen by Lewis Herms, who runs Screw Big Gov over there, as the democratic spots, that he wanted to go into the democratic spots and see if people, you know, what we were actually doing was light work, but we didn't realize it. And when we were halfway around, a healer that I know in the Appalachian Mountains sent me a map of the portals in America that matched the map of the places that Lewis had chosen perfectly. And the last gig we did was in Anaheim in a hotel opposite Disneyland, which is like demonic HQ, right? And I can't remember why I'm telling you this story. There was a purpose for it, and it's gone.
Well, could we go? I'm just getting a few slides up that I found really interesting, folks. But yeah, fascinating. Very quick anecdote. So I woke up in the depths of chronic addiction, Mark. You know, when I couldn't really go lower without dying, basically.
Yeah.
I suddenly learned that I had to start loving myself. I had to start loving that little boy who didn't have the easiest of times.
Same here.
You know, at 4 years old, 3 years, you know. And I was still, like, doing to him what adults had done to him. And he is me, if that makes sense. And I had to be like, Chris, you know, you can blame everyone for what happened to that little tacker, but like, you're doing it to him now, mate. So fucking get a grip and stop doing it, and or at least do it less. And that was that. And in that moment, I made a decision: stop being a victim. Mm-hmm. Seize the power. And that is the moment I would say I got the force, because I woke up the next day, and even though I felt ropey, well, in fact, it was about a week later, I stuck to my resolve. I spent 10 quid on a bag of stuff, and that was it. I didn't spend all my benefits like I usually did. And when it was gone. And I woke up in the morning. I felt a bit rough, on a bit of a come down. I threw open the curtains and I said, morning, sun. Thank you so much for this life. Thank you. And in that moment, as I turned around from the curtains to go and make a cup of tea, not a line, not a syringe, a cup of tea, which was just, I knew something had changed. It was never going to be the same again. I didn't need to compare myself to no one. I didn't need to aspire to anything, anyone, any achievement. I just had to believe in me, and the universe was going to take care of the rest. And that was it. And then, ironically, the old Scooby-Doobies in New York and Washington happened. And so I woke up after becoming enlightened. Work that one out. So just to recap, so those events, obviously, I'm guessing they were a big eye-opener for you too. And do you think it was the demonic thing that got you on the sort of spiritual journey, or whatever we're going to call it, the enlightenment journey?
Well, we are spirits. We are spirits having a human existence. Ghosts in meat suit, somebody coined that term, which is why my show was originally called Adventures in a Meat Suit. But when I started it, I mean, this is a biblical time that we're in. We are in the end game of a massive spiritual war, multidimensionally. And things are being revealed to us on an individual basis, on a kind of need-to-know basis, because if you get it all revealed too quickly, it's out there in the field, and then our enemies use it against us. So we are all being kind of teased into this, and certain information is being trusted with certain different spirits and different people to achieve different objectives. And for me, I've always had this image, this vision of a massive billion piece multidimensional chessboard, and we're all pieces on it, and we're all being moved around precisely as is required to achieve the outcome. which is effectively the golden age, which is what I have had visions of this golden age, which is full of beauty and crystalline buildings and harmony. And we have all these abilities that we'd forgotten about. I mean, they tell us that 97% of our DNA is junk. And I dispute that. I say it's just been turned off and it's being activated. And that, you know, I'm picking this up from people all over the world, that their psychic abilities are coming online. There are people now that can levitate and bi-locate. And, you know, I'm looking forward to being able to fly personally without the aid of an airplane, or I do like flying machines enormously. But this utopian world is the original blueprint of humanity. And I think that's what we're heading towards. And the journey of getting there is basically unattaching ourselves from all of this crap that's been put on us, which has really tethered us. And because this world that we think we exist in, which we're creating, is a holographic reality that is really a farm. And, you know, David Icke talks at length about Loosh, and that's fear and anxiety energy that they feed off from the fourth dimension and the archons and the reptilians and all of that. And all of that stuff's real.
I got one for you.
Yeah.
So how was it for you moving? I always try and explain it on my channel that fourth dimension is people that have left third dimension consciousness because they realise something's wrong in this narrative on the planet, you know. You end up wearing your underpants to go to Tesco, wearing your underpants on your face. You kind of know something's not quite right anymore. And then I explain that you become fourth dimension. So you become, quote unquote, awake. But awake is still in the matrix because you're using all your old strategies and your indoctrination for 50 years or however old you are to try to make sense of this new information. So you're like, right, let's get rid of Tony Blair. Let's get Boris Johnson in. That'll
do it.
You know, or, I mean, Sound of Freedom is a good one. You know, trying to fix a problem that's born out of so many issues, certainly a lack of spirituality, materialism, putting all your chips on one square and thinking a film will fix it. I've had conversations about that, you know, with people. I hate to break your bubble. If they didn't talk about spirituality, it's entertainment. And from fourth to fifth, where in fifth dimension you leave this meat suit behind, or you realize it's just the universe experiencing itself subjectively, and that everything is, according to our friend Nikola Tesla, is energy, vibration, and frequency. And therefore, we need to access that realm, like you very well put it across, Mark, in order to make our changes in life. I'm just interested because, oh, wow, you're going to have...
Tesla violet ray machine from 100 years ago. They got rid of all of them.
My God.
I know. Heals everything. Incredible.
I think Clive DeCarl's probably got one of those, hasn't he?
Got this off Clive.
Lovely chap, Clive.
So that's great.
All I was going to say is, you and me, we're not adverse to, you know, the odd cuss word, are we? And getting a bit frustrated. And have you noticed how you're leaving that behind?
Well, I'm trying not to swear on this show because it's YouTube. And I've had this conversation with my kids this week because I did a lot. That's what I was saying about the American tour. I got told off a lot for swearing because it's America.
Bastards.
I'm not going to say what I was going to say. I love, you know, America for me is the front line. That's the country that's, if that goes down, the whole thing goes down. So that's why I went. And I wanted to see it for myself. And I did not have a single bad interaction with anybody, even really woke people in Minneapolis. They were lovely. And but I was in Florida in Clearwater, and I was about to go on stage, and this woman came up to me, a lovely woman. She said, yeah, you realize you lost a Christian base yesterday? And I went, why? She went, oh, you're cussing. Do you care? And I went, no. And I went on and I swore even more. Because not to annoy her, but to just show people that a lot of, like, swearing, for example, is a kind of part of the trap. You know, all language that we are speaking now is spelling. So we that's why it's called spelling, right? Because it casts spells. And they changed the language to fit the narrative, to, well, to get us to create our own prison. So all the PC stuff that's happened since the late 80s that now has become wokeism or whatever you want to call it, is really a prison for your mind. It's fascism dressed up as manners. Okay, so it's just like making a smaller, it's like Newspeak in 1984. There's things you can't say. And, you know, common sense goes out the window, everything gets inverted, but it's ever thus that way. So, you know, I say to people that all the poetry that I came out with over the last 3 years, it came from above, and it did. It just got channeled through me, and I just had to get it out quickly. And some of that involved F YouTube or using the C word. I mean, this book is the only book with 27 pages dedicated to a word that I'm not going to say, but I can show you. You know, I've called them what they are.
Yes. I like to use the cuss words. I think it's just
well, it's just reclaiming the language, because, you know, that word in the 14th century meant a loyal and honest friend. You know, they changed the meaning of these things. It's like the word occult just means hidden. So all of this knowledge held in the mystery schools and by the Masons and everything else, it's occult, but only has power when it's hidden. It's like if a spell is cast upon you, if you know what that spell is and you understand it, you can dispel it very, very easily. That's why they hide it. But they hide it right in your face. So it's biggest, too close to see.
Yeah, biggest spell at the moment is the word past. Have you noticed? You talk about Newspeak and language being a spell. It used to be when I grew up, if someone died, they fucking died. It was like, fine.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely cool. My dad died last week. Now it's my dad passed. And I'm sorry, well, I'm laughing at just the utter gutlessness of people to just copy that word because you heard someone else say it, rather than just, because it's a spell. It's the sissifying of society. It's the getting people to be all, what if I say the word die, I might like offend people. And so I'm going to take the easy, because I'm so self-conscious, because I'm ego driven and I'm in a low vibrational state. I'm worried what people say. So I'm going to say past, because Disco Dave says past, and I'll just play it safe and go with what Disco says. Yes. I fucking hate it, mate, you know?
I hate it as well.
There we are, fourth dimension, folks. I dipped into the fourth dimension. I got angry.
That's okay, because we're actually, I think we are existing in multiple dimensions all the time anyway, but we're becoming more aware of these other dimensions as we're going through it. So a lot of the time I'm in fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth density, and then I'm still in 3D as well at the same time. So I was having that conversation this morning. Part of my work is to be pragmatic about where we're at and to just get people less suckling on the nipple of the state, and to, you know, create income streams that are independent, to grow their own food, to just be sovereign for their health, for their wealth, for their thoughts, for their emotions and everything else. And doing that as an idiot, you know, in a kitchen is what I said, described myself as when I first started this, because I did it in my kitchen. And I was like, you know, I'm just the same as everybody else. I've done stupid things. I've drunk too much. I've taken too many drugs. I've upset people I didn't mean to. You know, we've all done the same things because we've all been demonically possessed. So,
exactly.
You know,
and
getting
isn't
rid
it
of parasites and cleaning yourself, cleaning your blood and looking into ways of being healthy, using frequency and red light. And, you know, this healing center I've got is using oxygen to heal people. Oxygen, you know, it's not Wu Wei, it's oxygen. Is just simple. We're going back to a simpler time when we do the opposite of what the governments tell us. Because they've been telling us shite for years.
Have you found, Mark, that less is more?
Yeah, of course it is.
Massively. I eat like a sparrow now. I'm actually the same weight I was when I joined the Marines at 18. And when I go running, I'm just like a whippet. I'm 54 for crying out loud. Most people giving up running by the time they're bloody 18.
Do you know what's happened to me? There's a hill near here, quite steep. 3 years ago, I would have to stop halfway up. catch my breath. Now I'm running up and I'm running down it. And the only thing that's really changed is my water. Well, and my food. My food and water. Well, I've actually done loads of things, to be honest, but it's not like I've been to the gym 5 days a week. I've just changed the inputs. I've got clean, alive water coming in. I'm not eating bread. I'm not eating vegetables. I'm not eating before 1 or 2 o'clock in the day. So I'm fasting every day. And just these simple changes can have a huge effect on the debris. I was just talking about it earlier. You know, inside of each of our cells is debris and parasites. These are the things that we can get rid of very, very easily because I think they're part of a technology that keeps us in the grid.
Oh, massively.
If we can detach those from our... I mean, you look at the work of Dr. Jennifer Daniels. I won't mention what she talks about, but she got kicked out of America for discovering a parasite cleanse that's over 100 years old that everybody used to do once a year, and it's cheap as chips. I mean, we just rediscovered a Chinese technique called slap. I don't know what it's called. I call it slapping, which is basically, this is your heart and lung area here. You do this for 5 minutes hard. It brings all the debris, dead blood cells, all the crap that we're breathing in. We can't avoid it. You know, we're talking about brake dust. We're talking about the particulates, nano-sized particulates from the rubber tires on the road. We're talking about the things that get sprayed in the sky. All this stuff is inhabiting our body. If we could remove it, you get a clean vessel. And if you clean the blood as well, you've got, and structured water solves that problem like this. That's why all the water's so bad. I live in the west of Ireland. It's the most fluoridated water on earth. Why? What does fluoride do? It's a neurotoxin. What does it really do? Calcifies the pineal gland. What's the pineal gland? That's your telephone line to God, the universe.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, that's what we got to understand. The spiritual war manifests itself in the 3D in these poisons that are all around us. Even the paint on the walls is poisoning us. You know, there's a man I met about 10 years ago called F. William Engdahl, and he wrote a book called Full Spectrum Dominance, which is a really, really good book for everybody to read. I talked about it on my show a few times. Every single aspect of this prison that we're in, this farm that we reside upon, is designed to keep us sick and ill so that they can feed off us. And we're breaking free, and that's the good news.
Well, that's brought us nicely into... friends at home. Oh, sorry. Friends at home, could we get some likes, please, for Mark's wonderful guesting or co-hosting of my show? If we can get some likes and some subscribes, that will be absolutely wonderful, because as I always say, it's not a lot of people talking about this kind, and this is the gold. I've had so many people on my podcast, Mark, and they're all very welcome, because I just like to talk to people. I think everyone's got a story. I literally could talk to my postman, and I'd have just as good a chatting to him as I would some SAS legend or some rock celebrity. But having said that, though, these conversations, this is just esoteric knowledge. This is stuff that's bloody been hidden for thousands upon thousands of years that only the elite few have managed to decode. And yet here's Mark and I giving it all away for free.
Well, that's the thing. And finding it out, we've already got it in our DNA. I think it's already in us. All we're doing is uncovering something that was hidden. And that's, I don't know, that's like playing hide and seek. It's fun. If you look at it like that, it's fun.
Absolutely.
It's like, finding, you know, what's that game you do with the kids when you hide the presents around the garden? It's that. And it's like every piece of knowledge to me is a new present. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Where's the next one? You know, and I just want to keep going and consuming that and treating it as fun. Because when we treat it as fun, our frequency is higher. When our frequency is higher, that's the other thing. Laughter and they can't latch onto it, right? And they use the debris and the cells to latch onto us. But we can throw them off very, very easily. And while I'm listening, I know it's your podcast, but I'd love it if you played one of my poems, Chris. Would you do that?
Yes, it's not got copyright on or anything, is it?
No, I wrote it all. It's all me. It's if you type into YouTube, I see you.
Oh, yes. And that's going to bring us on, Mark. I just want to close, because we've been speaking about an hour now. I just want to close by talking about the, the big club, as I refer to them. So we're talking to Sabbateans, or I just say KM, because I got a feeling certain platform's going to change its rules to make...
Well, that rhymes with Azarian Muffin. Yeah.
Yes, that's the one. let me just get that one up.
Yeah, I mean, this poem, it doesn't contain anything contentious, although it's coded like all of the poems that I've written. And this one's really for everybody watching this that's ever felt isolated or alone or...
Mark, I'm interrupting you. It's just, am I getting it up on YouTube? We've got...
Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's not on my... I've got a new YouTube channel with 5,000 because I started again, but you'll find it on Abby Wynn's channel. If you type in ICU Mark Atwood.
Yeah, if you can give me all your links as well, Mark. Obviously, I've got your YouTube and your Twitter, and I'll put them below.
Yeah, I mean, mate, I'm on Rumble, BitChute. I've got this new YouTube one I've just started again, but I can't do anything. You know, all my uncensored stuff is on the markatwoodshow.com, Twitter/Mark Atwood. I've got a Telegram channel, The Mark Atwood Show. Anybody can... you know, engage with me there if they want.
So I'm playing ICU, a poem by Mark Atwood.
Hopefully.
Yep. Let me just get it up.
Said the actress to the bishop. Can't resist those jokes.
I love some parts of British humour, you know.
I know. I'm, you can take the boy out of Britain, but you can't take Britain out of the boy.
Here we go, matron.
I see you twinkling in the sky. Shimmering in Van Gogh's eye. Sparkling as the starseed you really are. You've come so far. Born onto the facsimile earth, all memories erased. Not one iota of your talents, of the children you once raised. You never felt accepted. You never felt the same. Your friends and family, alien, often seemed insane. They pointed fingers at you. They laughed behind your back. Whilst you were dancing with fairies and angels, you were on a different track. I see. You felt alone, you did your best. You smiled through all the pain. They beat you and abused you. They knew you'd come to end their reign. As winters came and summers left, the leaves fell over years. The spirit voice inside your soul grew louder through your tears. I see. They broke you down, they tricked you, they stabbed you through the heart. They feasted on your effervescence, they relished you apart. They stole your youth, they stole your money, convinced you they were right. But every time they ripped you open, closer came their night. I see. Like the caterpillar at the end of life, entombed inside the cocoon. The hero's journey, final act, when all seems certain doom. Those belittle words of faith and belief diminish amidst the noise. Yet you hold on, you won't let go. For the battle, you are poised.
I see you!
Deep, deep down, you hear the cry. In remembrance, you answer, yes. The fight was laid before you. To come is yet the best. Besmirched, belittled, tossed aside, you nearly lost your way. Letting go of all beloveds, you tried your truth to say. I see. As the veil it dissipated, as all the solids melted, the remnants left fought their way to sovereignty once doubted. You stood your ground, you found your power, your strength became unbounded. For you are the warrior child of this world. In your brilliance, our future founded. I see you.
Boom. Well done, mate. That's quite, I was getting lost there, getting lost in your prose.
Well, there's a little joke at the end that most people would miss to snap you out of it. I don't know if you saw that, but thanks. It was written for all of us, really.
Yeah, what was the little joke? Sorry, did I miss that?
Yeah, you have to play it till the end. It's just I try to put jokes in every the series.
Oh, is it in the credits?
Yeah, it's at the end of the credits. It's like one of those things at the end of a Marvel film.
Okay, I'm not sure. Is it a scene after the credits, or is it something?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything.
Don't worry about it. You don't have to play it now.
I think whichever channel I've played it on, they haven't got it.
Well, people always miss it. But if anybody wants to watch that,
It's on the Divine Matrix.
Oh, is it? I don't know where that is.
Yeah, the credits just end.
Do they?
Some yeah.
Buggers. Well, go to themarkoutwardshow.com. You can see the full version there. And there's loads of poems there. And yeah, thanks, Chris.
No problem. So just one last thing I just wanted to cover is, you know, we talk about the Matrix, we talk about becoming awakened, and then we talk about taking that step to enlightenment the terminology I use, folks, is open to interpretation. But I wanted to talk about the Sabbateans and the KM, because even though we create our world by going within, there is that passage, I believe it's in the Bible, says you still have to give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, meaning we still have to live in this realm. And it's all right going within, but if someone wants to come through my front door tomorrow and, let's just say, subject my family to a medical process, like, yeah, you know, I like to think I'm going to knock them out of my front door faster than they came in.
100%.
Meaning that, you know, there is the spiritual thing can go so far in depending on circumstance. And so one of the things I do, Mark, without trying to get negative about it, because it's a terribly dark energy attached to it, is I make people aware of these satanic groups that have come through the ages.
Yeah, me too. And I've had this argument for a long time. And I wrote another poem called We See You 3 years ago, which people can also go watch, which is about them.
I saw that one this morning. Yeah, that's why probably I was a bit confused then. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like partner sister poems. And that one, I mean, that's been seen millions of times. It's been played at SRA rallies around the world. Ricardo Bosa used it to open a rally in Australia, and you know, it all came from God, and it was after seeing the rally outside the BBC 3 years ago, which I hate with a passion. But I've had this argument for a long time, because there's a very well-known person who's a spiritual leader, if you like, and she told me years ago, she said, you got to stop talking about all this stuff. And I was like, really? I don't agree, because I know it's an inside job, but some of us have a job of trying to get everybody else to see them, because at the end of the day, people need to understand a fundamental thing, and that is that 22,000 children have gone missing every single day for at least 70 years. That's a billion children. One child going missing by these and being used the way these people use them is too much. And I don't care if they kill me. I'm going to do everything I can to stop that. And, you know, what have I got? Well, poetry is quite powerful. and it's not the same as a gun, but at least it's helping. And I think it's everybody who understands this and looks into it and really understands it to go forward and get people to face this, because where we're living right now was prophesied by the Hopi, and it's called the time of the eagle and the condor, when the eagle and the condor come together, and they're allegories for the dark and the light, and the more light you shine, the more darkness shows up. So we have to, I think personally, we have to process all of it and face it all, the same as we have to face our own demons. We have to face individually, we have to face our demons collectively as a species, in my opinion. I've got the strength to do that, and I hope everybody else has as well.
Yes, I think it gives you a bit of immunity, does it not? If fear is what they feed on. Also, you and I, we haven't signed up to their agenda, so we're not like, it's not like we're whistleblowers or anything. And it seems the rules of their game are, I was going to say it's a fair fight. It's clearly not a fair fight, but
we're way stronger than them. They know that. We have love and compassion and forgiveness, and they're our best weapons.
So, do you think then? I've got this theory. I think years of inbreeding into these money lines or bloodlines it's not even a theory. I got approached by an anthropologist the other day, and a sort of historical scientist, you could say, that said, Chris, like, I've been on this for 20 years now, there's a certain gene that is deficient in these individuals, because I've been saying, Mark, they clearly don't know love and empathy.
Empathy is taken out of them ritualistically. If you look at the Bullingdon Club, you'll see pictures of Johnson and that idiot that was Chancellor, now editor of The Spectator and The Evening Standard, and all of those others. Burning £50 notes in front of homeless people, sticking sparrows up their ass, having sex with pigs' heads, as David Cameron allegedly did and was depicted on that TV show that Charlie Brooker created. I mean, this is what they do. It's called cremation of care. So cremation of care, what does that mean? It means getting rid of your ability to care. And a lot of these people are brought up in satanic families where they are abused from the moment they're born, and they have no choice. And, with the R childs, they allegedly have millions and millions of test tubes, and they allow the most psychopathic ones into the family and just destroy the rest. The experiments and stuff they do on the ground and everything. And this is the biggest military operation in history that we're sitting through without realizing it. And the biggest sting operation in history. And we're seeing the end of their reign. And I think we actually won this multidimensionally already. And we're watching it play out. And that's where we've got to get to. What we've got to do now is process all that information, live our best life, live in service. I mean, the law of one says if you live in service most of the time, then you're going to be okay with the ascension process. Otherwise, it's going to be a very painful journey for you. But we are here for you. That's the point. It's not that we're special. It's just that there's hundreds of thousands of people around the earth doing a similar thing who have insights into this situation and are doing their best to create a safety net for people when they go through the trauma of understanding what's really happened in this world.
Mark, on that note, I think I was going to say leave on a high. It's like complete opposite of a high, but no, I think it's wonderful. I think it's fantastic that us guys have got to a certain age and we seem to have worked some stuff out. It's massive credit to you.
And you.
Thank you.
And everybody watching. Anybody even watching this is doing the work,
Yes, exactly. And they could be watching Coronation Street and,
Yeah, get off that shit.
Yeah, exactly. And so big credit to you too, friends. So Mark, stay on the line just so I can thank you properly when I've played us out. We'll put all your links below. Look forward to having another chat with you.
Anytime. I'd love it. Yeah, it's been great talking.
Yeah, it's great to bounce things back and forward. Friends out there, if you could please like and subscribe, that would be wonderful. I'm asking everyone if they'll support our Patreon for $1.99 a month or become a YouTube member for $1.99 a month.
Less than a cup of coffee.
Yeah, less than a cup of coffee. Plus, you get, where is it? Let me show you. Look, you get to come to our Bushcraft weekend. There's Chrissy in the background there. There's Nige doing his stuff. Or you get.
I want to come to the next one.
Yeah. Anyone that supports me, Mark, gets VIP tickets to all my events, so they don't pay anything. This one, we had to pay a little bit of camping costs, but it was insignificant. That's great, folks. And if you want the uncensored stuff, that's locals. That's where we go and speak on locals. So that's it, Mark. We'll put your links below. Let's chat soon. Stay on the line. I'm coming straight back to you. Much Cheers. Love, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Mark.
Friends, thank you for listening to the Bought the T-Shirt podcast. Please like, subscribe, and share. And don't forget to follow me on social media. Username, Chris Thrall. Instagram, Chris.Thrall. Thank you.